message, like between the songs, the testimonies, everything, you know. And so I'll pray that you be encouraged this morning. I believe God wants to encourage us and uplift us and exhort us this morning. All right, so we're going to start by reading from Romans 8. I tell you, this has got to be one of the best chapters in the entire Bible. Romans 8, but we're gonna pick it up from, I forgot my Bible. I wanted to read from my Bible today, but that's all right. I'm going to have to look at this. We're going to pick it up from verse 26. All right, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things, right, Karen? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, amazing. If God is for us, who can be against us? And, you know, when I was in Bible college, we, you know, you study all the, like, the whole entire 66 books, Old and New Testament, but you study kind of most of it in groups or, you know, whatever. We study doctrine, theology, historical book, you know, the history of religion or whatever you want to call it, Jesus. But, you know, there were some books and some things we studied that took an entire semester on their own. One of them was the epistles. You just studied the epistles all on their own, all right? The book of Acts was one that we had an entire semester just for the book of Acts. And the other one was the book of Romans. Entire semester on the book of Romans. Why is that? You know, because I believe Romans was Paul's masterpiece. And, you know, I just had a look through, because if you take the, even from the beginning of Romans to where we're reading here in chapter 8, if you looked at a synopsis all the way through, like, basically, everything that God did for us from beginning to end is in this book. When you think about it, it talks about how we're saved by grace, talks about how the body functions, talks about how God gave us gifts, all sorts of things is in the book of Romans. And I just jotted down just a little synopsis, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, of the wealth of and treasures that's in this book. If you've never really read Romans and really studied it and meditated on it, I encourage you to do it. Even if, you know, you got to get an easier translation, because we know Paul was very verbose and, you know, didn't have the, you know, sentences that went on forever. But just have a look again at the book of Romans, because if you take right from chapter 1, Paul tells us that because sin's in the world, all right? The world is in depravity. And in other words, we have the inability to distinguish from right and wrong. All right, so that's all in chapter 1. And of course, we can see that in our culture. Chapter 2, well, God gave us the law to temporarily fix it. This is what the gospel is all about. And it was just a temporary fix, because why? We couldn't keep all the rules. God knew we would break the law, but he gave it to us until the real answer came. Romans 3 and 4, he introduced us to Father Abraham. Paul did. I know Abraham came earlier in the Old Testament, but Paul just, he's just giving us the synopsis from the beginning of Romans. He introduces us to Father Abraham, the father of our faith. And in chapter 4, he tells us if you are born again and if you are of Abraham, of the faith of Abraham, you can call things that be not as though they are. So he tells us you can say something and the power of your words will bring that into existence. All right, and that's all part of how we live our Christian life. And then, oh, wow, Romans 5 and 6, when you look at that, Romans 5 and 6, the goodies start, what we've been singing about here today, that we're saved by grace. Oh, wow. All right? And even though this is so important to know, because even though we mess up sometimes, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. I don't know about you, but that gives me peace. It gives me peace to know that sometimes I'm going to mess up, but there's always a grace for my mess up. There's always a grace that gets me back in line that abounds more than where I mess up. Man. All right, and then Romans 7, I love this chapter too, because Paul identifies with our struggle. How many know the walk of faith is a struggle? And, you know, when you read, especially if you read in the New King James, you can go on like, what? What's he saying? You know, especially the famous line, you know, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. And all of little. But it's true. The struggle is there. He said, my flesh wants to do something and my spirit wants to do something else. And so what I want to do, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I end up doing. I mean, isn't that the struggle? Really? And you just think, you know, when you know, you get that icky feeling, you think, oh, there it goes again. I'm in that pot. I'm doing what I really don't want, what I, the real me, born again me, doesn't want to do. And so then, after that struggle, we arrive here at chapter 8. And he begins it with, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then he ends it with things like, if God is for us, who can be against us? That is powerful. And even goes on, we'll read the rest of the end of the chapter after, how he goes on, how we're more than conquerors. All right, so, you know, you look at this wealth of treasure that God has given us, and sometimes, you know, we take a verse like, I know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We just take that verse, which is good, and we meditate on that verse, or we take a verse like, if God is for me, who can be against me? And we meditate on that, and that's good, but let me tell you, there's a whole lot in between there. From where we read 26 to 31, there's a whole lot that nails it. There's a whole lot of qualifiers there and things that nails it. Because I could just look at, if God is for me, who could be against me? And I could think, if, well, what do you mean if? I need to know God's for me. I need more than an if. You know, like, my God's not an if God. Like, we couldn't have come to Australia on an if, let me tell you. We had to know God was for us. We had to know God was working this out for us and that He was ahead of us in getting us here and that we were meant to be here. We had to know that. It couldn't be based on if. If God's for me, who can be against me? You know, you have a sick child, you're not going to get that child healed on if God. It's got to be, I know God. I know because there's certain reasons why I know that child will be healed. Same thing with any sickness, disease, you know, with even your choices in life. You know, whether, you know, it's a new business, a new job, whatever. You know, you cannot go into those things on if. It can't be, well, if God's in this, then okay. No, if God is for me. So how do we know and have that confidence God is for me? Because we have read a whole host of things that leads us to that confidence. And it started back in verse 26, I believe. That's why I wanted my Bible so I could keep on looking at it. I believe it was verse 26. Sarah, could you put that up? That likewise the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit prays for us and our weaknesses. That's one way we can know. If we, please, church, make it a habit to pray in the Spirit. Make it a habit. Because it says the Spirit helps in our weakness because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. That's a weakness. It's a weakness that we don't know that what to pray for as we ought. And so the Spirit helps us in that because the Spirit will pray through you or the Spirit will pray through someone else that God's intended to pray for you. The Spirit will pray through you the perfect will of the Father so you can get to, I know God is for me. All right, that's the first qualifier, praying in the Spirit. And it releases, you know, that confidence that you know you are praying the perfect will of God. And you know, as we went on to verse 28, that God is working all things out. I think that's where it was. Was it? 28. I need a Bible up here. Sorry. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, all right, and to those who are called according to purpose. So when you pray in the Spirit, you get a knowing that it's going to work out. You don't know how it's going to work out, but you know it's going to work out. And so, you know, you think, well, how else do I know and have that confidence, that kind of confidence that I know God is for me? And if we go back through verses 28 to 31, all right, so I might take these a little slowly. All right, it said, and if we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, it says, because, all right, so we know, it says for whom, but it really means because, all right? So all things are called according to his purpose because who he foreknew, he also predestined. Now, these are all big religious words, but let me tell you, they have a very strong meaning and a very strong, confidence for us that we can believe and know that God is for us. So who he foreknew. Now, a lot of people mix up God's foreknowledge and think, well, that's it. He's just decided it. It's that way, and that's how it's going to be. No, 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 no. He foreknows because he knows everything. God's not limited to time. He is the great I am. So he lives in eternity, and so he sees everything. From the beginning to the end. He's not bound by time. And because he sees everything, because of that foreknowledge, he knows who will come to him, who will accept him, who will want to be conformed to his image. And because he foreknows that, and he is aware of that, he predestines us. All right? And it's not just, oh, I pick you to get to heaven, and I'll pick you to go to hell. It's not like that. Right? It's not like that. He knows who's going to follow, who's going to come when they're called. He knows because he's already seen it. And so he gets to work and maps out your destiny. He's predestined your end. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what anybody has ever said about you or ever done to you. It will never change the end God has for you. Never. It doesn't matter because he foreknew you and he predestined you. And he knows the end already. And he's already, he makes, if you're praying in the Spirit and following after Christ, he's making it all work together for good because he's already seen your end and he's brought it to here. He'll bring you to that point. We've got to believe that. This is where we get confidence. This is where we get it. Next verse. All right, so whom he foreknew, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, okay, so these are the five things that how we really know, all right? So because he foreknew us and he predestined us. Moreover, those he predestined, he also called. So he knew ahead of time what you would do, you know, and I could see this in like so many people's lives, you know, like, and even my own life, different things when, you know, in hindsight, you could see, well, God knew when you would respond. So that's when he called. Right, Amy? God knew. So because of his foreknowledge, he predestined. And so then those he predestined, he calls to himself to be conformed to his image. And whom he called, these he also justified. And I know you've heard it from a lot of other places because it sounds like a big religious term, but justified means justified, never sinned. Even when he knew you were going to sin, he called us. Ephesians said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The plan was from the beginning of eternity, whenever that was. Right? So it's just as if you'd never sinned. That is one of the hardest things for Christians to get their head around. That God loves us just like he loves Jesus. And let me tell you, the biggest thing that keeps us from believing and being confident in God is for us and not if God is for us, the biggest thing that keeps us from that is feeling guilt and feeling like we're not worthy to have our prayers answered or we're not justified, okay? Justified, never sinned. Nothing you can do can change God's love for you. We've been singing about his love. It's not that you go out and you willfully sin and act like, you know, because remember, we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We're in Christ. And the Holy Spirit will convict you and tell you if you're out of line. And it's taken care of by the blood of Jesus. When you just turn it around and make it right. But it's just as if you'd never sinned. So, he foreknew us, he predestined us, he called us, he justified us, and then he also glorified us. Now, that's another religious term. You know, well, what glorified us? I mean, like, he has poured all his honor and glory on us, just as it was with Adam. Now, you remember it said Adam walked in he was covered in the glory of God. He was covered in it. And so he was covered with honor and glory. And just as Adam was, God gave us back what Adam had and what he lost. Jesus Christ gave us that back at the cross. And we became, it says, you are glorified. He has glorified. Have you noticed all these words, foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified? They're all past tense. All past tense. That God can't do anything more for you than he's already done. It's all past tense. So everything that he's done for us has already been finished in eternity. And we're just walking it out in time. Already done. We've been glorified. You know, we can, when Aubrey did her messages on, I don't know know what you called them. But, you know, when she brought in how science is proving, you know, that what the word says is right. Okay, she talked about Adam naming the animals and calling things. And, you know, we have to get back to a point where we realize we have that glory and honor that we can function how God functions. We're made in His image, and we need to stop declaring things. I think some things we need to stop praying about and stop declaring. And walk in the glory that God has put around us and the glory that that is meant for us to be declaring these things. So all these things, you know, all these five things, this is how then when you get to verse 31, you can then get there and say, what then shall we say to these things? God is for us. Who can be against us? I mean, what a list. What a list previously. It's so important sometimes to take a passage of Scripture and read the entire passage and read it in context, because this is our confidence. This is how we know. He gave us the Spirit who makes intercession for us when we don't know how to pray, and prays through our weaknesses, gets other people to pray for us. He knew ahead of time we would come to Him. He predestined us to be conformed to His image. He called us to Himself. My goodness, how much more can He show us? He justified us while we were still sinners. And when we still sin, He sees us as if we never sinned. And He's glorified us. This is how we know. We don't know by previous experiences, sometimes we do, or what didn't happen to someone else, or what someone didn't get an answer to prayer. We know by what He says in chapter 8. We know that God is for us. No man can be against us. No man. And so I want to wrap this up. It's not a very long message today, but I want to wrap this up by reading verses 31 to 39, and, you know, when I read it, I'd like the ushers to come and hand out communion first, if they would just come and get the elements. You know, it doesn't matter which storm or trial you're going through, God will get you to the other side, because that's He knows the plans He has for you. And there are always plans to prosper you, not for harm. You know, how do you think Jesus could be asleep in the boat that was sinking? Jesus was asleep in a boat that was sinking. Why? Because when He got into that boat, He said, we're going over to the other side. He had that confidence, we will get to the other side regardless of any storm, because that's my destiny. I am meant to get to the other side, and we'll get there. So He could sleep in the storm. You know, you've got storms and trials, tribulations, whatever it is in your life, whether it's financial, personal, you know, health-wise, whatever, you know, as the storm rocks, remember, your destiny, God will get you to the other side. He will get you there. Praise the Lord. We just put up verse 31. We'll start with verse 31 again. So what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So, like, even if you weren't convinced all the way up to verse 31, Paul keeps going on. Let me give you a little bit more to be convinced about, right? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Nobody. Let me tell you, the enemy cannot bring a charge against you. Who shall? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? The evil one? Those thoughts in your head? They're not from God. God doesn't condemn. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. He'll convict and guide and steer, but he does not condemn. Who is it who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and get this, who also makes intercession for us. All right, so the Holy Spirit's interceding for you, and Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for you too. It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better. So we have the Spirit within us interceding right here on earth, and we have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding as well. Doesn't get better. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I'm sure you've all been through a time where you felt like you were being slaughtered by the enemy. Yet in all these things, here it goes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Now, I know you know the joke, the more than conquerors joke, right? Everybody know the joke? I'll tell it to you again. All right? So, boxers in the boxing ring and bashing it out. And you know, the boxer that comes out on top, the fighter, you know, beaten, bruised, everything. You know, they put his hand up. He's the victor, and they give him the check, right? He's the conqueror. He goes home, gives the check to his wife. She's more than a conqueror. That is exactly what Jesus did for us. Seriously. Right? That's what he did. He got beat up. He took all our muck, all our garbage, you know, everything, all our sin, all our ugliness, and he conquered it. But we're more than conquerors because we didn't have to go through it, and we get all the blessings. He got all our junk, and we get all his benefits. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Is there another verse? Yes. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, these are all those things that come against you, church, it's all in the spirit, nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, whatever's ahead, doesn't matter, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. You afraid to travel? Not even height. Not even height. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great book is Romans, and a great chapter. And on that note, we are going to stand as we take communion and honor God for all that he's done for us. Praise you, Lord. Just thank him right now. Just give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that you took it all for us, that we became more than conquerors. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you for all the things you've done and the guarantees you've given us, Father, that you are against us. You are for us, rather, not against us. You are for us. And, Lord, because of that, we can walk in confidence in our life. We can walk through any problem, any storm. Lord, because of your word. You are true to your word because of what you have done, because you are the great I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the price you paid. And we receive it now. If you need healing in your body right now, I want you to receive it. Praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to put my hand on your ear because you're having trouble. Okay? In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, your word says, by your stripes we are healed. We speak to that pain, and whatever the cause is, we say you are gone in Jesus' name. We declare you whole. We declare infection gone. Rid from this body every bit of infection, and whatever the cause is, from this day forward, she will recover in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just take the bread together and the cup together. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask the band to just play that last chorus, if we can sing that last. Jesus is my testimony. And, you know, I didn't know what all of you might be, going through this morning, if you need health in your body or whatever. Just receive it. Receive it as we sing this song. And if there's something you need specific prayer about, you're welcome to come forward and have prayer. But please know.